2020 is a banner year for women's suffrage, especially in Utah. But the state has some of the lowest numbers of female elected officials. KUER's Nicole Nixon explores why that is.
2020 marks the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. Next week, the state is also celebrating the 150th anniversary of Utah Territory women casting the first post-suffrage votes in the country. And this summer, Utah will send a statue of Martha Hughes Cannon, the first woman in the nation to be elected as a state senator, to the U.S. Capitol. There's a lot to celebrate, and lawmakers have been. Here are remarks last week by Democratic Representative Karen Kwan, House Speaker Brad Wilson, and Governor Gary Herbert.
And we were a leader from the very beginning. In 1896, we changed history again with the election of Dr. Martha Hughes Cannon.
Those important milestones changed the course of history, and it changed it for the better.
In honor of this event, I'd like to ask all of our female elected officials who are carrying on the legacy of Dr. Cannon to stand and be recognized. You're proving that a Utah woman's place is in the House and in the Senate. Please stand up.
How long ago was that? I mean, you know, it would be nice if we had progressed much faster than we have.
That's Patricia Jones. She spent 14 years in the Utah legislature and now runs the Women's Leadership Institute, which aims to elevate women in business and politics. Women only hold a quarter of Utah's legislative seats, and all statewide elected offices are held by men. Jones says there are a couple reasons for Utah's low gender parity rates.
Women don't see themselves in politics. They see it as combative. Women don't get up in the morning, look themselves in the mirror, and say, I'm going to be governor. Some men do that.
But she says more and more, that's beginning to change. Jones, who served in the legislature as a Democrat, mentors women from both parties. But she says it's the state's dominant political party that struggles to elect women. She points to BYU research that shows women attend Republican caucuses at equal rates, but still only about a quarter of elected delegates for those caucuses are women.
I'm not sure the Republican Party does a great job of building their pipeline. I think they're starting to wake up to that. But I literally have to go out and ask people in the Republican Party, please send me some potential candidates, Republican women.
One of those Republican women is 33-year-old Emily Coleman. In 2018, a longtime female state senator from Utah County announced her retirement, and Jones urged Coleman to run for the seat. But as she talked with party delegates before the convention, Coleman says she noticed a pattern.
It sort of felt like I had to overcome the hurdle of indicating to people that I was actually serious about running, that I had qualifications.
Coleman spent years working for Utah Congressman Chris Stewart and Jason Chaffetz, but she was running for the Republican nomination against a lawmaker who was giving up his House seat to run for the Senate. So Coleman tried to tap into this network of current lawmakers, who are mostly men, for guidance and resources. But as a first-time female candidate, she felt like she hit a wall.
Just the overall sentiment I got was, we think you'd be great here if you can make it. That was a little frustrating because I felt like what I really wanted was some help, some resources to kind of get into this network that I knew that, for instance, my opponent was in. And it just felt like that was very much closed to me until I earned my place.
Given her experience, Coleman says it's disingenuous for white male Republicans to be touting the century-old achievements of suffragists when women face so many barriers in running for office today.
I certainly don't blame the fact that I didn't win on being a woman. I think it's absolutely a lot more complex than that, but I think I would have maybe come a little closer if I'd had some of those resources or, you know, things might have been just a little bit different.
Now that she knows what an uphill battle it is, Coleman says she isn't sure she'll ever run for office again. But as far as getting more women to run, Patricia Jones has advice for parents and grandparents. Take your daughters to vote, to caucuses, and to other political meetings.
And let them know why it's important that they're involved in this. You think about all of these very meaty and heady sort of decisions that are made. Women need to be part of that.
And she says the research shows that unless leaders are actively recruiting and supporting female candidates, the numbers won't improve. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.